So Lamaisa, you know, the Nitziv points out in his Hakdama to the Book of Shmos, where we're getting the second Chumash, that each name of the Torah, each Chumash in the Torah, has a nickname besides its official name. So Chumash Bereishis is called Sefer HaYashor, the Book of the Upright, because it's the story of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Sefer Shmos I'll come to in a moment. Sefer Vayikra is called Toras Kohanim, the Law of the Kohen, because it's about Korbanos and the like. Sefer Bamidbor is called Chumash HaPikudim, the Book of Numbers, the Book of Census. Actually, that's exactly the common English name for it, because the Book of Bamidbor contains, in the beginning of the book, a census of those who left Mitzrayim, and at the end of the Sefer, a sentence of the new generation after the 40 years of the desert. And then we finally have the Book of Devarim that is called Mishneh Torah, a repetition of the Torah, because a lot of Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu's review of events that had happened previously. So everyone has a name, right? Sefer HaYashor, Toras Kohanim, Chumash HaPikudim, Mishneh Torah. Now, what is the nickname of Shmos? Shmos also has a nickname, and the nickname of Shmos is simply Chumash Hasheni, part two. There's no real name to Shmos. It's called Chumash Hasheni. What the Nitziv says, that is really the essence of the Book of Shmos, because Book One of the Torah is about creation. And the purpose of creation was that there should be a Jewish people that would keep God's Torah. So Bereishis gives us the foundation of that world, the creation of the world and the Avos. But the Book of Shmos is the actual creation of the Jewish people. The Jewish people were created through the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim and through the experience of Matan Torah. And indeed, the Rambam says Shmos has three themes. There's the Exodus, the Yetzias Mitzrayim. There is the Matan Torah. And then there's the building of a Mishkan, which is Hashem's Shechina resting within the Jewish people. And therefore, in effect, the Book of Shmos is also creation. It is creation part two. There is the creation of the world, and then there's the specific creation of the Jewish people. And that is why it is called Chumash Hasheni, because it is Bereishis part two. It, in fact, is the raison d'etre. It is the reason why there was a world. Remember what Rashi says? The second Rashi in Chumash, Bereishis bara Elokim, so that's interpreted according to the Medrash to mean, because of those things that are called Reishis, those things that are called the beginning. One pasuk calls Yisrael the beginning, another pasuk calls the Torah the beginning, right? And therefore Bereishis, because of the Reishis bara Elokim Hashemayim v'Haaretz, and in effect Shmos is giving that reason. The Bereishis is the creation of the Jewish nation through Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, which is what we received after we left Mitzrayim. Now, we know that the Exodus is such an important event in our history. You know, there are movements within Judaism that seek to look at it as simply a metaphor, a mashal. It didn't happen. People talk about lack of archaeological evidence for the Exodus and all sorts of arguments. But we know that Yetzias Mitzrayim is so central to what it means to be a Jew, that not only do we commemorate it in the Seder, which is the big thing, but according to many interpretations, every single day there is a mitzvah min haTorah, to mention verbally, not just think about it, fully, that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And according to, we'll see in a moment, we paskin, there's a mitzvah to do it in the day, and a mitzvah to do it at night. You're chayav to do it in the day, and you're chayav to do it at night. This is called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? The annual mitzvah for the whole story, that is called Sefor Yetzias Mitzrayim. The daily mitzvah is called Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, it's very different, because Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, your Yotzei, with a single verse or whatever. Sefor obviously requires much more. Now, what is the makor? What is the halachic source? Yeah.
Does Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim require kavanah?
Well, it's like any other mitzvah. Does Kriyat Shema require kavanah? Meaning, that's a general machlokas in the Gemara. If mitzvos need kavanah or don't need kavanah, but one should have kavanah. In fact, this is interesting. The mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, which is a Torah commandment in the morning and in the evening, is only the first two paragraphs of Shema. Shema and Vahayoyim Shemoah. Parshas Vayomer is technically not part of Kriyat Shema. It's not part of Kriyat Shema. So why did the Chachamim say it should be added to the recitation of Shema? So in the daytime, it's obvious, because since it talks about the mitzvah of tzitzis, and tzitzis is equal to the 613 commandments, and in fact the word tzitzis is a remes to the 613 commandments, right? Because tzitzis, begematria, is 600, and there are 8 strings and 5 knots per string, so that gives you 613, and especially when you had techeles, you looked at the techeles, you saw the blue, and you saw the throne of glory of Hashem. But the question is, the mitzvah of tzitzis only applies when there's no mitzvah of tzitzis at night. Because the Torah says, or isim or so, you have to be able to see the tzitzis by natural light, and in total darkness you would not see your tzitzis. So why do you read the Parsha tzitzis at night? The answer is because tzitzis has another thing besides the mitzvah of tzitzis. It has a pasuk that commemorates the Exodus. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Asher Hotseisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. In fact, the Gemara in Bracha says that in the Yerushalayim, the old Yerushalmi minog was that for Ma'ariv, they did not say the whole parsha of Tzitzis. Would have made Ma'ariv around a minute shorter. You just said Vayomer Hashem El Moshe Leimor. Skip. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotseisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. They didn't bother to say the rest, because the rest is only tzitzis. Tzitzis only applies in the daytime. So in the daytime,
why would they have said that first pasuk?
It's not clear why they even said the first pasuk. I don't know. Maybe because if you just say Ani Hashem Elokeichem, it sounds like you're saying you're God. if I don't say Hashem said to Moshe, then I'm simply saying I am the God who took you out of Egypt. It sounds like a avodah zarah. So you have to say Yomer Hashem El Moshe Leimor. Okay, now, our minog is, of course, we say the whole parsha, and I urge people not to skip it, not to skip by Yomer in Ma'ariv. But if you look at our trusty Art Scroll Siddur, you will actually see that on that pasuk it says each person should have kavana, to intend to fulfill the mitzvah of remembering the Exodus. Again, whether you need kavana, it's a machlokas. But the one thing I'll say is the following. Even if you don't need kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah, it would seem obvious you would have to have an awareness that you are remembering the Exodus of Egypt. Because if you don't consciously think of that, then how have you remembered going out of Egypt? So that level of kavana you certainly would have to have, because that's definitionally what the very mitzvah is. Okay? So this is called the mitzvah of zechiras yitzias mitzrayim. And this is derived from the pasuk, "Laman tiskor es yom seischa mi'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha," that you shall remember the day that you were taken out of Egypt, all the days of your life. Now, there's a mishnah at the end of the first parak in Brachos, and this is very familiar to people because this is in the Haggadah Shel Pesach as well, but it's taken from the mishnah in Brachos, in which Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a great Tana, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hare ani keven shivim shana, behold, I am like a person who is 70 years old. And you know, the Gemara explains that this was the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi. There was a big, big feud between Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi, and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Gamliel had embarrassed Rabbi Yoshua for not agreeing to Rabbi Yoshua's psukim. And after he had done this 3 times, there was literally a palace revolt, and Rabbi Gamliel was deposed as Nasi. Fascinating Gemara in Brachos. He was actually deposed. It's like the Talmidim deposed the Rosh Yeshiva, which actually has happened. And the question then becomes, who should become the new Nasi? They didn't want to make Rabbi Yeshua the new Nasi, because that would have been too insulting to Rabbi Gamliel, that the very person he was arguing with should now become the Nasi. They didn't want to make Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the greatest of the Chachamim, but Rabbi Akiva did not come, yes, he came from Gerim, so Rabbi Akiva did not have Zechus Avos, did not have the lineage of merit of his forefathers, and it was thought, therefore, that he was actually vulnerable to any onesh that Hashem would send for those who were Mevazer Rebbe and Gamliel. So they finally decided on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Kohen. He was the 10th generation from Ezra, so he had Sechus Avos. He was very, very learned. He was also wealthy and politically well-connected, so he could negotiate. Remember, a Nasi was not just a religious leader. A Nasi was a political leader who had to negotiate with the Romans. But he was only 18 years old. People might not respect an 18-year-old. So miraculously, his beard turned gray overnight. And Mimela, that's what he means when he says, behold, I am like a person that is 70 years old. Now, someone will learn differently. Someone will learn that he didn't get old, so Hashem made a miracle that he should be respected, but rather having the responsibility caused him to turn gray prematurely. That actually does happen. My wife always reminds me that all of our friends who became shul rabbanim all turned prematurely gray, and those who didn't still dark haired and everything else. So there might be something to that. The Arizal says al pi Kabbalah, very very interesting idea. The Arizal says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Gilgal, was a reincarnation. Right, the Arizal was very big into the notion that souls come back multiple times. He was a reincarnation of the Navi Shmuel. The Navi Shmuel died at a very young age. The Navi Shmuel died at 52 years old. So when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was born, he was born with the neshama that had already been in Olam Hazeh 52 years. So when he was 18 years old, his neshama had spent 70 years on earth. So that's why he says, behold, I am like a person that is 70 years old. I want to get back to the Mishnah because that talks about Zechiras Yisus Yisrael, but let me just finish the story. As Gemara in Brachos says, that when Rabbi Elazar ben the Nasi, he adopted first and foremost an open admissions policy. Anybody who wanted to learn in the yeshiva could learn. Rabbi Gamliel was very strict. Rabbi Gamliel said the only people who could learn in the Beis HaMedrash were people who were just as pure inside as outside. Meaning to say, he investigated. Just because you looked like you were good, he looked at your midos, he looked at your teva. And as a result, admissions were very selective. Only the greatest, most righteous people were able to get in. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, everybody who wants to learn comes and learns. And that day, it says, they added 400 benches. I don't know exactly how many people sat on a bench, but 400 benches were added to the Beis HaMedrash. That's pretty amazing. Unless the Beis HaMedrash was mainly empty, I mean, we couldn't add 400 benches in our Beis HaMedrash, even the main Beis HaMedrash. And Rabbi Gamliel saw this, and he felt very, very bad, because then he really realized, how many people have I prevented from learning Torah? So he got a dream min HaShemayim, in which he dreamt of beautiful white containers that were filled with mud and ashes, as if Hashem is telling him, a lot of people are here, but they're full of junk. They're not really that worthwhile. But then the Gemara says, but that really wasn't the case. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Rabbi Gamliel to feel so bad, so he sent him that dream. In point of fact, it was a big chisaron that all those people weren't learning until then. Which implies, in other words, that one should err on the side of including people rather than excluding them, because you never know. Even if someone comes to yeshiva and they're not so great in terms of their midos, the Torah itself, the learning itself, can make them into something significant. Be it as it may, eventually there was a compromise. Eventually the Nisias was rotated, where Rabbi Gamliel had a week and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had a week, or 2 weeks, one week rotation. And there was shalom, and the Gemara makes the point that even the weeks that Rabbi Gamliel was totally deposed, he always came to learn every day in the Beis HaMedrash, meaning he did not simply leave, he continued to participate. Okay, so this is a very interesting story about this. But going back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, behold, I am like a person who is 70 years old, but I didn't merit Lo Zachisi Sheteyomer Yitzias Mitzrayim Baleilis. I did not merit that the Exodus should be recited at night. Now, this is not, now again, I want to point out a very, very common mistake people make. Since I did this during the Seder, so some people think that this discussion, whether you do the Exodus at night or not, is a machlokus about the Seder. That would be the simple understanding. But that's absolutely incorrect. There is no machlokus when you make the Pesach Seder. There is no machlokus when you recite the Haggadah. Everybody says you recite the Haggadah at night, because that is when we ate the Korban Pesach. The machlokus in the Mishnah is the whole year. Now, why it's in the Haggadah, that's another question. Maybe we'll talk about it closer to Pesach. But it's very important that you understand this is not a machlokas about Pesach night, but the machlokas, or the discussion, we'll see if it's a machlokas, the discussion between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim is not about the Seder, and it's not about the Haggadah. It's not about the mitzvah of Sipor. It's about the daily mitzvah of Zechira, that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I couldn't convince the Chachamim that there's a mitzvah to mention the Exodus at night, because it was their position that the daily mitzvah, not the annual mitzvah, the daily mitzvah is only in the day, because that's when we actually left. Right? And therefore they only said Parsha Tzitzis in the day and not at night, because of Tzitzis and because of Yetzias Mitzrayim, until I got them the drasha of Ben Zoma. And Ben Zoma looks at it this way. The Torah says, you shall remember, Laman Tiskor, Es Yom Seischa Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, Kail Yemei Chayecha. The Torah doesn't use extra words. The Torah could have said, Tiskor Es Yom Seischa Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, you shall remember the day you left Mitzrayim, the days of your life. That would mean all the time. What's Kol? So Ben Zoma says the following. If it would have said Yemei, the days, perhaps that would have been only daytime, because that's when we left. All the days is an extra lashon that means even the nights. Which means, by the way, you see, even according to Ben Zoma, that your default setting, in other words, your logical starting off point would have been the mitzvah is daytime. Because of the superfluous word call, we're marbe even the night. But night wouldn't have been your initial supposition. In fact, it's an interesting anomaly. How come for the Seder, it's obvious you only do it at night and not in the day, but for the daily mitzvah, the day is more obvious than the night? Because even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says night, it's only because it's kind of like an afterthought. If it would have said Yemei, that would be day, even includes the night. Now, it turns out that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that the mitzvah is day and night because of kol. Of course, there's a little bit of a, I'll throw out a question, I'm not going to answer it today, and that is, what does the phrase mean in the Mishnah in Brachos? Behold, I am like a person who is 70. V'lo zachisi she'te'omer. I did not merit that the Exodus of Egypt should be mentioned at night until Ben Zoma gave a drasha. Does he mean, I didn't know that we have to do it, or I didn't do it? That's one possibility. He's talking about himself. I did not merit to know this halacha till Ben Zoma came. But that's not how most Mefarshim learn it. Most Mefarshim learn it, I couldn't convince other people to do it until Ben Zoma made his drasha. So the obvious question is this. If Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was not in possession of Ben Zoma's drasha, then why did he do it? Now, there's the implication of this explanation is he was doing it at night anyway, but he couldn't convince other people until Ben Zoma's drasha. That implies that somehow Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had another source to do it at night, which somehow was not convincing to anybody else. And the question is, what was that other source? I mean, that's a kasha to think about. Moreover, the Mishnah goes, the next part of the Mishnah is even more difficult, because Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah seems to be saying, I couldn't convince people till Ben Zoma's drasha. implying that once I have been Zomer's Drasha, I've convinced people you gotta do it at night. But right after that, the Mishnah says, oh, by the way, the Chachamim offer a different interpretation to the extra word kol. Meaning to say, right, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Yemei Chayecha means daytime, kol Yemei Chayecha even includes night. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying, and that is how I convinced people to do it at night. But then the Mishnah says, the Chachamim, which normally means the majority view, says no. If it would have said Yemei Chayecha, that would have meant the days. Kol does not mean night, meaning night you don't do. But kol is marba even after the coming of Mashiach, meaning I would have had a Hava Mina. After the coming of Mashiach, the miracles of Mashiach are going to be so great that will pale in comparison. So why talk about the Exodus when Mashiach comes? So the Torah says, you must even do it when Mashiach comes, because if there had not been the Yetzias, the logic is, had there not been the Yetzias Mitzrayim, we would have assimilated, and therefore there wouldn't have been a Mashiach. So yes, Mashiach will be a greater miracle than Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Yetzias Mitzrayim is still the basis of the fact that we're here, and we're able to be redeemed. So that itself is a Pella. Because, number one, the Mishnah implies Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah did it at night, even without Ben Zoma's Drasha. Well, how did he know? But number two, the Mishnah states that after Ben Zoma's Drasha, he convinced people, and yet the Chachamim had a different Drasha, right? The Chachamim had a Drasha, Nimos HaMashiach. Again, the Gra just explains in terms of the Machlokas of Drashas, and that is, call, right, all the days could either mean all of the day or all of the days. And there's a different implication. If you interpret it to mean night, then you're looking at Kol Yemei to mean all of the day, all parts of the day, day and night. If you learn that it's being Marbe Yemos HaMashiach, it doesn't mean all parts of the day, but it means all of the days, only in the daytime, all of the days, evenly most HaMashiach. Yeah.
It just seems that it's a pretty obvious drasha, like, why does he need Ben Zoma to come along? Like, he's the Nasi, like...
Obviously it's not an obvious drasha, because once again, granted that call is superfluous, but you could use call to be Marbeli most HaMashiach. Now, the question is, though, since you could do that anyway, so why would Ben Zoma, in other words, why would Ben Zoma's use of that drasha have carried so much more weight? You know, that means a good question. I mean, the truth is, Ben Zoma, it's interesting. On one hand, you know, Ben Zoma, there are two rabbis who, we don't even refer to them by their first name, Ben Zoma and Ben Azai. Right? We don't even, you know, they're nameless. They don't have a name. It happens to be both of their name was Shimon. Shimon Ben Zoma and Shimon Ben Azai. Now you'll notice that, number one, they don't have a name, they don't have a first name that we use, and number two, they don't have ordination. They're not Rebbe Ben Zoma, Rebbe Shimon Ben Zoma. So they weren't even smuchim, they didn't even have ordination. And yet, we find that Chazal considered them to be extraordinarily great gedolim. For whatever reason, they were not ordained, because sometimes smicha was a function of being in the right place in the right time, and during Roman persecutions, when smicha eventually ends, times a person was not able to get smicha. But you find hundreds of years later, when Abaye would describe when he had a very clear head and he was able to learn very well, he says, I am like Ben Azai today in the markets of Tiberias. And Ben Azai was the symbol, or Ben Zoma, the same thing, was the symbol of great clarity. So Ben Zoma had a certain prestige. Maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah may have been Nasi, but he was 18 years old. He was not able to convince people with that. So it seems from the Mishnah, when you walk away from that Mishnah, and again, I want to emphasize, the Mishnah is about Zechiras. It is not about the Haggadah, it's not about the Seder. You seem to have two mutually exclusive interpretations. Everybody's moda, there's a daily mitzvah in the daytime to mention the Exodus. But, according to Ben Zoma, you would do it at night, And you don't do it when Mashiach comes. In fact, the Gemara actually says that according to Ben Zoma, you're not going to mention the Exodus when Mashiach comes. I mean, this is your choice. You either do it at night, and you're not going to be Maskir Limoto Mashiach. That's Ben Zoma. Or you're going to be Maskir Limoto Mashiach, and you're not going to do it at night. Meaning, based on the possibilities the Mishnah gives you, there is no Mandi Amar that seems to say you do it at night and Limos HaMashiach, right? Because it all depends on what the call is coming to get me. And in fact, the Gemara does say Beferish, well, I made two statements. I said, number one, that Ben Zoma that does it at night is not going to mention it Limos HaMashiach. That statement is explicit in the Gemara. The Gemara says Beferish, that according to Ben Zoma, we are not going to be Maskir Yitzias Mitzrayim Limos HaMashiach. That is not up to speculation. That is something the Gemara explicitly says. Now, I made a second statement that according to the Chachamim that mention it Limos HaMashiach, you will not mention it at night because call is coming for Limos HaMashiach. That the Gemara does not explicitly state, but that would be Pashut Pshat. But we will see actually that there are going to be some Achrayim that disagree with that. Some Achrayim would say that when the Chum say the Moshe Mashiach, they will include night, but they don't need Ben Zoma's Brasha. That's Lach and Brachas that goes in that. But let's first go with the simple meaning, that the Drashos are mutually exclusive. That you either Mar Ben Night and don't include Limos HaMashiach, or you're Mar Ben Limos HaMashiach and you don't include night. So this word from Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik says like this, everybody's moda, there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to mention the Exodus at least during the day, right? It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So how come when the Rambam lists his 613 mitzvahs, and the Rambam gives you a list of mitzvahs, this is not counted in the Taryag mitzvahs? Why is it not counted in these 613 mitzvahs? It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So Rav Chaim says the following. The Rambam wrote, in addition to the Mishnah Torah, which is all of the halachas of Torah Shebal Peh, the Rambam wrote a shorter work that is called Sefer HaMitzvahs. It's a brief explanation of the 613 mitzvahs. He actually wrote it as an introduction to the Mishnah Torah, but it's a big introduction. It's a work in and of itself. But you know that the first part of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam devotes to 14 rules as to what makes something a mitzvah. This is very important because, on one hand, we have this Mesorah from Chazal that there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, and it's based on a gematria, Torah, Tzivua Moshe. Moshe gave us Torah, which is 611, and Anochi, the first two of the Ten Commandments, we heard from Hashem, that makes 613. And we know that there's 365 negative commandments equal to the days of the year, and 248 positive commandments equal to the bones in your body. So we have this number. But you see, Chazal nowhere give us a list of what these mitzvos are. Now, why is that a problem? Just count? Tefillin, Shabbos, obviously, Well, the answer is it's not so simple. Because if you count every commandment in the Torah, right, sit down and count them, you will get several thousand. I mean, let's take a korban, a sin offering. Right? The Torah says, if a person sins and brings a korban chatas, it must be shechted, right? And the blood must be sprinkled, the meat must be burnt. Well, if you count each of those statements as a commandment, you're going to have much more than 613. So the Rambam had to develop on his own, really. He really was unparalleled. A sense of classification rules. So, for example, in the case of a sin offering, the Rambam would say that only counts as one mitzvah called bringing a korban chatas, which comprises 28 steps. So the Rambam had to kind of figure it out to get that 613 number. The Rambam had to develop rules that not every command statement in the Torah is counted as a separate mitzvah. Other things, why don't you not eating from the Eitz Hadas as a mitzvah? God commanded Adam HaRishon not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Should that be one of the 613 mitzvahs? What about the fact that you're not allowed to leave your mun over till the next morning? Well, we don't count that as a mitzvah. So the Rambam develops a lot of criteria. Some of them are somewhat obvious, although there's a lot of pilpul about it. You don't count Rabbanans as doraisas. Okay? But in the third, the Rambam has 14 principles, so in the third of the 14 principles, the Rambam says, you only count as a mitzvah a commandment that is eternal and does not lapse with the passage of time. In other words, there are many commandments in the Torah, but the only ones that make the 613 list are those that are permanent legislation. Right? Just l'havdil, you know, the permanent laws of the United States are in something called the United States Code. But then there's all sorts of laws that are temporary, etc., that expire. They're in the statutes at large, but they're not in the United States Code. Now, so you might be asking, well, wait a second, you're telling me in order to count as a 600... Now, in other words, see what the Rambam is doing. The Rambam is differentiating between the concept of da'oraisa and the concept of 613 mitzvot. There are commandments that are da'oraisa, but they don't count in the 613, and among the reasons are because they're not permanent. Now you may ask a question, well, wait a second here. We certainly count korbanos as among the 613 mitzvot, even though they only exist when there's a Beis HaMikdash. I mean, we count many mitzvot that only exist in certain times and certain places. But the Rambam says, no, korbanos is a permanent mitzvah, but it's conditional on certain things, meaning any time you have a Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring korbanos. In other words, it does not lapse with the passage of time. Temporary and permanent means something is permanent if it does not lapse with time. Something is temporary if it lapses with time. Now, something can still be permanent because it doesn't lapse with time, but it may require certain conditions that don't exist. For example, you only have to take off truma when you're in the land of Israel. Now, truma is a permanent mitzvah, even though it only applies in Eretz Israel. Korbanos is a permanent mitzvah, even though it only applies when there's Beis HaMikdash. But what's an example of something that's a non-permanent mitzvah? So the Rambam gives a few examples. In the Midbar, right, the Aron HaKodesh carried by B'nai Kohath. So the Rambam has various proofs that once we came to Eretz Israel, that mitzvah no longer applied. Okay, so Rav Chaim says the following. Rav Chaim says, we can now understand why the Rambam does not count remembering Mitzrayim as one of the mitzvahs. Since the Rambam paskins, you have to mention the Exodus at night. So who does he follow? He follows Ben Zoma. If he follows Ben Zoma, Kol Yemei Chayecha is being marbed the night. That means, according to Ben Zoma, you do not mention the Exodus once Moshiach comes. If so, the Exodus, or remembering the Exodus, is a mitzvah that will automatically lapse when Moshiach comes. So yes, it's a d'oraisa, but under the Rambam's own rules, it's not going to be counted as one of the 613 commandments. Masha ein kein, like the Chachamim, that you are going to be maskir limosa Moshiach, we would count it as a mitzvah. But since the Rambam paskins, you do it at night, he's going like Ben Zoma. Now, of course, one could ask a simple question with this, and the simple question is, well, wait a second here. What is the svara, why Ben Zoma said you're not going to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at night? Because the miracles of Moshiach are going to be so great that they will overwhelm, right? They will overwhelm the significance of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Well, wait a second. So according to that logic, will we have a Seder when Moshiach comes? Will we recite the Haggadah when Mashiach comes? Will we eat the Korban Pesach when Mashiach comes? In other words, the problem is, if your argument is that Yemosa Mashiach is going to overshadow Geulas Mitzrayim, then none of the commandments connected to the Exodus should be noeg when Mashiach comes, which means, not only are you missing, I mean, after all, the Rambam doesn't count remembering the Exodus every day, but he certainly counts the Mitzvah of Haggadah and eating matzah and maror and korban pesach. According to Ben Zoma's logic, why should they be noleg when Mashiach comes? But you could be mechalek. You could be mechalek. That the annual observances, in other words, even when Mashiach comes, it still makes sense to have the annual observance of the special occasions. In other words, Ben Zoma is using the argument, it's only the daily remembrance that's less necessary because we have Mashiach, so that's going to lapse. But the anniversary events, right, the anniversary events are apparently still going to be there. Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think there's some Chazal somewhere that says, maybe you remember that Purim will never cease to be celebrated.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it mentions all the holidays are going to be nullified except for Purim. So that would imply Pesach will be nullified. Yeah, the Rambam isn't, obviously isn't going with that Malach. And also, I do want to mention, too, that Rav Chaim's Pshat in the Rambam, that since the Rambam paskins like Ben Zoma, therefore the Exodus will be, the mitzvah of Sipur, of Zechira will be nullified when Mashiach comes, puts the Rambam in a position where the Rambam violates one of his own 13 principles. One of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith is that the Torah will never be nullified. Not a single mitzvah of the Torah is going to be nullified. And yet, the Rambam is put in the position of following the view that the mitzvah of remembering Mitzrayim is going to be nullified in the coming of the Mashiach. The question is the Rambam guilty of, first of all, Ben Zoma, but that is Ben Zoma's opinion, but by following Ben Zoma, is the Rambam guilty of violating his own halachic standard? Okay? I have to leave a little early, so that's something to think about, but anyway, be it as it may, this is what Rav Chaim says is an explanation for that. But the one thing to walk away with, remember that when you daven Shachris and you daven Ma'ariv, when you see the pasuk Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Etzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, you should have kavana that you are fulfilling the additional mitzvah d'oraisa of remembering the Yetzias Mitzrayim in day and at night. So remember, the point is, even if something is not counted in the 613, that does not mean it's not d'oraisa. It's d'oraisa, but it doesn't meet certain criteria to be counted in the 613 commandments. Okay, thank you.